WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
San Francisco-based actor and writer John O'Keefe joins us again in our weekly performance spot. He's going to take us back into the world he created in his piece Shimmer, a world drawn from his own childhood experiences and fantasies, growing up in a broken home and intermittently living in detention centers as a ward of the state.
This story is true. Well, most of it. It was the end of a long, bad time. The fall of 1956 in the heartland of America. Tama County Juvenile Home in Tama, Toledo, Iowa, just off Highway 30. Had this tall red brick chimney that stuck up out of it like a marker. I can remember others. 7, 8, 9 tall red brick chimneys sticking up out of a flat Midwestern landscape. Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois. God and razor straps. 5 long razor straps in Tama County Juvenile Home. Lined up and hanging on the wall with holes in the top so that they'd whistle and make tattoos, hanging right where you could see them. Tama, Toledo. The worst and the best. Best because it was the last. Worst because the razor straps were harder to take the older you got. Best because I met Gary Welch. Gary and me pulled cafeteria. We had to be there at 5 a.m., an hour before the rest of the kids got up. Most of the kids hated kitchen duty, but Gary and me, we liked it, because we could walk under the Iowa sky, ablaze with its Easter egg light, the air filled with the sound of roosters and dogs and birds and our leather shoes as we walked from Hoover Hall to the cafeteria. People don't think that dogs can think. I think they do. So do I. I think that birds can think. Me too. I think that bugs can think. I do too, Gary. Fact, I think that worms can think. Me too. Fact, I think that dirt thinks. I don't know, man. It'd be pretty hard in the dirt. I mean, all those people walking around it, digging into it and everything. Anyway, what parts of the dirt? The little parts of the whole ground? Well, the little parts think like the little parts, and the whole ground thinks like the little parts when the little parts think of themselves as being the field. Well, where's the field end? Where the fences are. Well, why there? Because the fences tell the ground when it's a field. The cafeteria was one of the most exciting places of all. It's because that's where everybody came together, i.e., the boys and the girls. Everybody waited outside the cafeteria, the bell would ring, and then everybody would file in according to cottage. One of the patrons would begin the morning prayer.
Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we are about to receive from the grace of thy bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The rustle of chairs and the clanking of silverware and plates, and then
silence. There was absolutely no talking allowed in the cafeteria. The sections were patrolled by the patrons and the matrons who paced the aisles between the tables to ensure the security of silence. Evie, big, fat-faced, black-haired grinner, would roll between the boys' tables, his arms folded over his pot belly, just waiting to give one of his infamous ear claps, which meant that he would attempt to clap his hands together with your head in between them. He could come up on you so quiet you didn't know he was there, and no matter how much winking and finger twitching the guy on the other side gave you, he would inevitably catch you whispering to a buddy or gazing at a girl across the room, and then pop! A mind-blackening explosion would send your ears wailing for the rest of the day. And old Evie, he wouldn't say nothing. He'd just roll on down the aisle, that same grin on his face. Going together in the home meant sneaking glances at each other across the cafeteria. Is someone looking at you, Beatrice? Matron says this. Who's looking at you? Come on, girl, stand up and show us who's looking at you. Beatrice stands up, but she doesn't look at him. She doesn't want to get him in trouble. The matron slaps her. Who's looking at you? She doesn't look. She slaps her again. I said, girl, who's looking at you? She slaps her again, and she still doesn't look at him. She's just about to slap her when, bam, Davy stands up, and he looks at Beatrice. Evie strides over to him and says, what you looking at, boy? Sit down. But Davy doesn't sit, so Evie, wham, shoves him down in his chair. Davy gets up, and Evie slaps him. Davy doesn't sit down, so Evie whacks him in the back of the head. Davy's chin smacks against his chest. He lifts his head up, and he looks across the cafeteria at Beatrice. The fat cow matron has stopped slapping her. Everybody in the room, in fact, is looking at him except for Beatrice. Davy smiles. Blood's coming from the corner of his mouth. Davy's bit his tongue pretty bad. Evie grabs Davy by the collar and he pushes him out of the cafeteria. The fat cow matron tells Beatrice to sit down and keep her eyes to herself. She does. That's love. Love in the home.